welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big stories that have gone on in tech, all the shiz that's been happening throughout the tech world that you've missed, and the stuff that Jeff brings.
That too.
Joining me to discuss the week in tech, the usual crew, starting us off, top left, Camps. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Looking a touch angelic, mate. Clean shaven. You've got the Fred Flintstone blur, but there's not a whisker in sight.
No. I always have this this 5 o'clock shadow. No, I just got a bit fed up with it this week, so went in to trim it. I like him off. Now we're done.
Talk us through teething kids, mate.
Oh. Yeah, I wish he'd get some teeth. He's not sleeping. He's not a happy little man right now. He needs to get some teeth in his head so we can all get some sleep, and he needs to do it quick.
The chat room has already suggested you look like Johnny Ive about to do a video on an Apple keynote.
Oh, that's fantastic. We totally need to do some spoof videos with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we should do that.
What happens here is... next to him, it's Jeff Ray.
How's it going, Ewan?
Are you recovered from WWDC fully?
Generally.
Mostly. How's the new iPad? Is the latency down?
Oh, my God. It's fracking amazing.
Really? In comparison?
It's not fair to compare the new iPad Pro to the first iPad Pro.
Really?
I mean, seriously, it's that much faster.
Wow. Excellent, mate. What have you been up to?
WWDC. That took up a crazy amount of time, and I feel like I'm still trying to catch up from that.
And while we talk about someone who's been on a conference all week and he's just getting over it, here's Rich, straight from E3 with a box of tissues. How you doing, mate?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Mate, did it pump your nads? Did you feel the earth move at E3
this
week?
It's been quite a week.
Were you a bit pissed off?
No, I'm very excited. I bet you can't guess what new story I've brought this week. Well,
I saw the Assassin's Creed trailer, and I got to say, I lost faith in Assassin's Creed when they all started shooting each other. I wasn't impressed with the gunpowder stuff. But it looks like they've gone back to the stabby weapons, which is a big plus for me.
It does look like that. I've actually never played an Assassin's Creed game. However, Alison downstairs has played absolutely every single one of them. So that's her range of games.
Alison downstairs sounds like a nickname for your penis.
It does, doesn't it?
I've never played an Assassin's Creed game, but my penis has played all of them.
Yes. Well, he's talented like that.
Is Alison downstairs your partner, or is that the woman that lives downstairs?
No, she's my partner / girlfriend.
Right, okay, so you could conscience. Say girlfriend. We'd be fine. We're progressive here, you know?
Okay.
Some of us, including Jeff, only smoke pot, you know, so it's...
Hey, me too, don't worry.
Yeah, don't say that, it's illegal. We'll come back to you about E3 in a bit. Last but by no means least, righty boy!
Mate, how you doing?
The place in England where a pot is something you put a plant in.
It do be where you put your plants.
What you been up to, brother?
Oh, mate, I've had a stonking week.
Did
I've
you
had
have
a really
fun
good
at
week.
The fair today?
Oh, well, that's an interesting thing. You got to walk into the grounds of work and there's a helter-skelter and a big wheel and a roller coaster. No, we're gearing up for graduation week, so they always put a big fun fair on campus. So everyone gets drunk and goes on rides all day, every day.
They need a week to decide when to get drunk. I don't think so.
The students just still drink coffee.
Oh, you know. What?
Yeah, I don't imbibe in the booze anymore, but when I did, you'd be like stood three deep at the bar and you're waiting for people to get a latte. It's like, we've got five coffee shops, go and get it from there, you freak.
Oh.
But yeah, it's all kind of winding down, so they've done their exams, so there's minimal clothing on the females and the males, unfortunately. And they're getting absolutely rat-ass.
Wait, what's the date? I need to clear my schedule.
Yeah. Are you feeling like a dirty old man, righty?
Well, this is the thing. When I started at the university, I was only 24 years old, and I used to, like, you know, fit into the kind of dynamic. And I used to get the freshest fares and get the free pizza and all the vouchers and all that sort of thing. Now, yeah, I just feel like with a daughter who's only 4 years away from going to university, I really do feel like that dirty old man.
Good man. That's all right, mate.
Well, you can't be a good lich.
Absolute welcome, mate. No worries at all. You're in good company here, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
The Week in Tech, what's going on? What have been the big stories? What's been happening? What have you seen? There's been some Russian space vehicles doffing with the International Space Station. There's been lots going on. But who's got the first story? Campion's already in there, you lightning-fingered bastard. So, messages startup Slack draws interest from Amazon.com.
Yeah, so rumours are rife around the potential that for Slack being available, and it sounds like Amazon are very interested from the reports that I'm reading, as are a few others.
What are your initial thoughts here? Because my first thought was hell no, and then afterwards I thought, actually, Amazon are pretty good with the comms stuff. They're all about the engagement, so this might not be a bad thing.
From what I'm interested in Jeff's thoughts on this one, but from what I'm reading in the articles, this is kind of one of the pieces that are missing from Amazon's armoury, in that they've got AWS, so they've already got a huge footing within the corporate world, and Slack sounds like a perfect partner for the likes of Chime. Bundle that together with the fact that Amazon are definitely going to be going down an AI route, and Slack have got talent in droves. Partner it all together, and for me, it sounds like at $9 billion, and that's billion with a B. This is a big price tag, but probably quite a big prize.
Jeffrey,
you know, when I first heard the news, I got a knot in my stomach. Because my first thought was, no, Slack, it's so good. Don't take it and ruin it. But, yeah, the purchase, assuming this happens, it totally makes sense. A lot of people forget that Amazon is a lot more than an online retailer. I mean, they're providing the infrastructure that I think it's a majority of websites and web services are using on the internet.
Yeah.
And AWS, I mean, they are very big in the corporate space. Yeah, so this fits in with their overall strategy to maintain their position as the go-to company for your corporate online needs. So, yeah, I totally get why they're doing this. Assuming they really are doing it.
Absolutely, yeah. Assuming they are. I mean, they've got the infrastructure to host it. I believe Slack is partly hosted in AWS anyway, because when the S3 outage hit, was it end of last year, early this year, we lost quite a lot of Slack functionality within our Slack room for a number of hours, being able to upload photos and things like that. So, yeah, to be able to link this in with the rest, with the Chime offering and the AWS offering, I think Amazon are onto a winner if this comes off.
Yeah, it seems to me like Amazon right now is very aggressively in buying mode. Because we know they're looking at Slack. Well, we assume they're looking at Slack based on the news. They just bought Whole Foods, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're on the hunt for other companies right now, too.
Like I said, I think Amazon are targeting themselves partly down the retail and the consumer line. And this, for me, is a bit of a bridge across both. Obviously, the likes of us are using them as consumers rather than corporates. But I can't help thinking that with the AI drive from Amazon's point of view, that this absolutely can feed into there. It's going to contain loads of data, real data as well, real conversations now. Is it going to be kind of buried in the T's and C's that they might use some of that to be able to develop Lex, which is the AI engine that sits behind Just Jeff?
Jump in, Paul and Rich, yeah, at any point, but my thought process is, what are Amazon getting from this? They're getting data, they're getting purchases, maybe. They're getting Amazon links that people recommend via Slack. Maybe, but I mean, a lot of the time there is a usage for Slack which is business-based or which is social-based, which is outside of Twitter, which is not interested in advertising. So therefore, those things kind of go away.
I think Amazon have always been brave enough to just keep going and trying those markets out.
Let Rich have a go. Go, Rich.
It's good to have a presence wherever you can, isn't it? Really. So even if it is slightly moving into a new space for Amazon, I think it's right. Yeah, this is a corporate thing. And they want corporate people thinking about Amazon as a thing. God, can you imagine if anyone else was buying it? Because Google would buy it, split it up into Slack chat, Slack audio, Slack video, and 27 other messaging apps that no one ever uses and destroy it.
And then kill them in 18 months.
And then kill it in 18 months, yeah. Facebook will add games and stickers and sharing pictures with your mum and stuff. And so Amazon seems to be fairly good.
I think the other people who could be in the market for buying it would only buy it to stop people like Amazon getting their hands on it. Microsoft have got Teams that are recently launched, and if they're gonna, if they want to sort of reduce the marketplace, they might look to buy literally to shelve. Facebook have got, is it Workspace they called it?
Yeah, I was having a look at that last week, actually.
Yeah, Facebook have got the platform. Could they be in with it? They used to spend an awful lot of money for something that doesn't really do an up the right lot. So I think if anybody else went to buy it, they'd buy it to shelve. But I think the talent that sits behind Slack, they've got a young, really talented team over there, and I think that's something that Amazon might want to tap into.
There's a comment from Deepan in the chat room which says, do Amazon see the purchase of Slack as a basis to develop their version of Skype? And that's completely left field.
Well, Amazon have got Chime, haven't they? Amazon, I don't know. They bought Chime.
But it's still not Skype.
It's not Skype, no, but it's Amazon's version of Chime that they're looking to bring into the mainstream. But yeah, it's not there yet.
Right, so you were about to say something, go on, mate.
Yeah, well, educate me, because I see, you know, we're talking about corporate and all those sort of things, and I know we use it on a more social kind of level in our Slack room, but we're talking about Amazon and corporate like it's a natural fit. And I know, obviously, you've got AWS and all those sort of things that a lot of businesses use, but I don't know a lot about Chime. Maybe Camps can educate me a little bit more about how that is an advantage to Amazon. But I kind of see Amazon running Slack in the same way that Facebook tried to do that Facebook for Work thing, where I wouldn't mainly, you know, cross a consumer company with a corporate company. And I certainly know from the security levels and things that we have where I work, we wouldn't ever incorporate anything that that Amazon do. So we have Office 365 and Teams and Groups and Planner and all those sort of things. But the one thing that we've managed to negotiate with Microsoft is that we are the data owners. Microsoft do not have access to their data. They host it. We have complete access, complete ownership of it. I don't like this idea of a consumer company where you buy your nappies and your CDs running the communication systems of a large organization.
Yeah, but don't forget, right, yeah, Amazon started off as a retail store, but AWS is where the majority of their income comes from now. So
I totally understand that, the infrastructure side of it, but the internal communications of businesses, and obviously a lot of that would run through AWS, but the day-to-day kind of goings-on and the chats and the plans and things that go, I certainly wouldn't use it with Amazon behind it. I don't know if I trust Slack themselves that much, really. But then it's not until we use at work, we use Microsoft Teams. But then we have some proviso of encryption and security on that side. So if Amazon were to like leave it alone, and just run it as an interest, which is why I don't understand why they pay so much money for it. But they just start, if they're just buying it to mine it, which is what a lot of companies do with these acquisitions of companies, then it's a bit crass, really.
Whereas I think Amazon would totally tap into the market and the huge corporate market that they've got with AWS, and they would offer the likes of Chime and Slack as a company in services.
Mm. But if it's got, if so, are you telling me chime is something, and I don't know. So chime is similar.
Amazon's. When was it now? I think it was early this year, start of this year, January, February time, something like that, when they announced chime, and it's not really got off to a huge start that I'm aware of. It's certainly not in terms of the breadth of something like Skype. But ultimately, does a very similar thing. You know, you can arrange your web conferences, your video conferences, you can do some voice conferencing over there as well. Instant startup, send an invite over, click the link, and you're both in a chat, both in on a video call together, or multiple people on a video call. So yeah, it links chat rooms. It's seamless across devices with the Amazon Chime apps. And there is, if I remember right, I'm just frantically trying to find the details on it now. It offers almost a couple of different tiers of service, right up to the Amazon Chime Pro, which has got the full set of features for online meetings, scheduling, hosting, recording, all that sort of stuff for up to 100 people at a time.
Batwitch in the chat room is asking why would Amazon have bought Whole Foods, but I mean they are about selling domestic products. You know, their shopping list, their subscribe and save is fully about domestic products, so it makes perfect sense to buy Whole Foods. I don't see that at all as an issue.
Well, I
do find an issue with the purchasing of this though.
Yeah. In the United States, Amazon has already been experimenting with opening bookstores and grocery stores. So they have an automated grocery store right now where the people that are employees are just handling stocking, and the store is automated and takes care of everything else.
Yeah.
So and then Amazon also has their grocery delivery services. So I think the Whole Foods purchase plays into all of that.
I agree.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. The Slack thing, though, assuming they do buy it, I'm concerned that Slack will just get absorbed into everything else that Amazon does. You know, it's sort of like an acqui-hire.
Yeah,
and I would hate to see that happen because there are so many things that people are using Slack for. Because on the other hand, they may just let it run as an independent company and give it tight integration with the services and products they're already offering at the enterprise level.
Mm-hmm. Does Slack make much money as a company? Is there much money in what they do? Because we use it for Simply Syndicated as well, and it's we're on the free version, and from what I gather, most people are.
That's a good question.
So I don't know if it would be worth running as a company in its own right. Are they just looking to be bought up? I don't know.
Is this a scenario? I mean, I think about one of the articles I read, sometime last year they were valued at $3.5 billion. The rumours floating around on the news articles going around at the moment are quoting in the region of $9 billion. And is there a scenario that Amazon are buying this for the audience that comes with it? There's a huge user base. It, like I say, integrate with the applications that they've already got. And yeah, they get data out of it, and there's tools to link onto their other services.
Or they just slap adverts all over it for Amazon.
Possibly.
And if they do that, then I'm done. Because what I like about Slack is, with all the other companies trying to do these kind of collaborative tools and all that sort of thing, Slack's just seemed like the little guy who I kind of liked and was offering a free service to people who wanted to use it. And if they get absorbed by the big boys, it doesn't have as much attraction for me.
Yeah, I think there's a certain element of the people that look for Slack look for something that's not Twitter. There is a definite drive to have something which is not Twitter. Because Twitter is a cesspool. It is an utter bilious mess of hatred and everything I loathe about human society.
It really is.
I'm not over exaggerating that.
No, I'm not on Twitter anymore because of our Slack room. And the people I talk to on Twitter were the people we talk to in the Slack room. And it's a much better enclosed place where we can talk without all the dirge. And it's so much better.
I think it's something that people have been trying to get together for a long time, just having these private chat rooms. And Slack just came along and did it right.
One of the articles was a Business Insider article, and what they're saying that Slack's B2B chatbots are really impressive. Now, I've not got a lot of experience with anything like this, but what it's saying then, company them infusing the Slack bots with Lex would not only vastly improve Slack's bot capabilities, it'd massively increase Amazon's AI platform. So that could be a benefit in terms of using just Jeff on the Echoes, Dots, and the rest of the devices, particularly with things like the Look coming along soon.
Don't know if I like
That's an interesting idea.
Very interesting. I get the Whole Foods purchase, but there is a certain amount of this which puzzles me, I have to say. Good, sorry, mate. Who's got the next one? Do spin us a yarn, chaps. Righty boys, in there, poised to fine Google more than $1 billion in antitrust case. Wow.
Incredible. Yeah, this story is wife-approved because we were childless this evening for a bit. So I normally, if I'm looking for a story, I go through with the wife, and we had a bit of a chat about this. It'd be interesting to see what people's views are. So basically what's happening at the moment is the EU are doing their normal thing of basically fining people for running their businesses, as they did with Microsoft in the 90s and Google, and then turned their attention to Google. So what they're saying is that Google have abused their monopoly in search, in that when it comes to shopping, they push you more towards their shopping channel than their competitors. Now, if I'm looking for something online, I generally know what I'm looking for. I know the general sort of price that I'm looking for. And whether it comes through one of Google's results or a company lower down the list, I generally find and buy the thing that I want. And now this 1.1 billion euros, or maybe 1.35 billion euros, as it could be, is a huge thing. And what I was kind of thinking is Google is not the internet. It's the biggest search engine on the internet, but it's not the internet search. You have lots of other options. So as a business, and I don't have an opinion on this either way at the moment, surely they should be allowed to promote the things on their platform that they want to promote, because Apple do it on their platform, other companies do it on their platform, Amazon do it on their devices, and those sort of things. Do you think Google is right to be pushing? Because I don't know, and this is another way you can educate me, I don't think Google make any money for pushing product through their shopping channel. They're just, you know, I don't know if people are paying them to be higher in the rankings and all those sort of things. I just don't know, because it's only the EU's got a problem with it. America hasn't got a problem with it. The rest of the world hasn't got a problem with it. Is it just the EU trying to show their teeth to tech companies again, or does Google have a right to do this?
I would say to a point that they have a right to do this. This, you know, something similar came up a few years ago when people were complaining that they use their power to promote YouTube videos over videos that were hosted on other services. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. And I would say, yeah, to a point, of course, they're Google. If they want you to do a map search, of course it gives you Google Maps results. If you do a video search, of course, it gives you YouTube results. But that becomes a problem when other companies don't even have a look in. And yeah, there are other search engines, but what percentage of the market do they make up, really?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's about, where do you reach that point where you can say to Google, all right, it's time to stop being an asshole about this. You've got to give other people a chance.
Are they being arseholes? That's the thing that I've got a problem with.
I don't think they are.
No, I don't necessarily agree that they've done anything wrong in this particular instance. And that, based purely on my own use of Google Shopping, which is never. I've never gone to Google to search for a product. I've gone to Google to search for which stores sell a product. But other than that, they've never really steered my shopping in any particular direction. So whether or not this particular case is so.
Oh, just imagine if they steered Jeffrey shopping in the particular direction of his of his cookies.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
Jeff, you would die of malnutrition because there'd be fudge all in there that you could eat.
Could something like that open them up to other lawsuits? Like, every time I went on the internet, it said, why don't you buy some cookies? And before you know it, you're £500 and look like a giant cookie. Yeah,
Jeffrey's messages are, Jeff, we're begging you, buy something nutrition, stay away from the latex.
which is so disappointing. Okay, here's the problem that I see with the whole Google search thing in this case. Google has led people to believe, rightly or wrongly, that they're offering up these unbiased search results when you are looking for products. And it turns out they weren't. So the deception part there, whether they intended it or not, that's where I see the problem. So what they needed to do from the beginning was make it very clear, yeah, we're going to show you search results, but you're going to see ours first.
Mm. Yeah. No, I think at the end of the day, like I said before, it's just interesting that this is the EU again doing this. And is anyone complaining about it? That's because I know with like the Microsoft thing and the IE thing, people might have been complaining, yes. Other companies, it's other companies complaining to the EU. So maybe it's not the EU doing this. They're just getting a steer from other companies going, well, we're not happy with this. But if people are paying Google to promote their stuff, it's an open market for everyone to do that as well. That's how search works. That's why you have SEO companies push your stuff. You have SEO companies push your stuff to the top. There's opportunity for everyone if they want to take it. Yes, it's harder for the smaller businesses. Of course it is, but even without Google putting it into their shopping thing, you know, it's not as if you search for political views, Google are putting their political views at the top of that. We've had no evidence of that at all. This is just shopping. I don't think it's worth 1.5 billion euros in fines.
Well, shopping economies are massive though, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, just shopping is, you know, that's a big thing. But see, I even thought people whining about IE were annoying. Like, if you care enough for that to bother you, that's on there, go and get a different browser.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was only part of the problem with the IE thing. Microsoft was kind of being a dick about that.
That was also is that why we got that footage of Bill Gates sat in a deposition or something, and he said, I don't understand what you mean by is. And you're like, shut up, Bill.
Yeah, no, that was Bill Clinton, mate. It was just doing cum stains on someone's dress.
But I understand the confusion.
Mate, I'm sorry, but the Bill Gates I know is as far away from that story as it would be possible to get, because how the hell he would be less boring enough to allow that to happen, I don't know. And if that would be if Melinda let him, because he's a bit under the thumb, I think. You're thinking Bill Clinton, mate. Monica Lewinsky, yeah. Cigar.
Oh, it can be a bit of a wild one, that Bill Gates.
Well, he did steal a bulldozer when he was younger, so there's that. He then got arrested for it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Like the intersection, the stories that are related there, to do with the where the cigar was inserted versus the activity that followed versus where Bill deposited his man juice is entirely different from anything even conceived Bill Gates getting up to. It's just like.
Now, wouldn't you just crap if you found out that Bill Gates had like a porn dungeon in his house?
Oh no,
I'd be disappointed if he didn't
know about that. That's too far.
but no, that's okay. I think he possibly does, but that would be because if Melinda let him.
Sure, you know, and as long as they're both consensual, and they, you know,
it would be consensual as long as Melinda let him.
There you go.
That's my point. It's like, you know, I don't see the same thing. It depends how you define the term is a Bill Clinton line for sure. Is.
Yeah.
That woman.
Woohoo!
Bill Gates depositing juice. That's so wrong on so many levels, but I'll write it down.
Good man.
Actually, the fact that it says, can I just put Bill, please, right? Because if I put Bill Gates, it sounds like I'm going to get sued and there'll be nothing left of me. Bill Gates depositing his man juice.
Yes, note that, boy.
I might have to I might have to abbreviate that, right, to just Bill.
Yeah. What are we talking about again?
Man juice.
Whose story was that?
If you search for man juice on Google, it comes up in the shopping results and you get sued for it.
Hang on, how did we get from the browser palette on Microsoft to Bill's jism? I mean, it's just...
I'm sorry, come again?
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, to be fair, though, WebCrawler and AltaVista are perfectly free to challenge Google in the advertising market. They just don't.
No. And the fact the search is to Google something, I think they've cornered the market there. So... As I was saying, I don't have an opinion either way. And now, listen to you guys. Yeah, I don't think they're doing anything wrong. It's their platform. They can do what they like with it.
To the likes of Bing, I'm assuming they're doing it, but it's just because they're not as big. They haven't got market share. Therefore, EU are not interested in chasing them right now. Google are the ones to go after.
You'll never get Bill Gates.
Microsoft has been pretty straightforward about the fact that they're bumping different search results around based on what people are paying. From the beginning, they made it clear they're totally playing around with what shows up where.
Yeah. Just for knowledge sake, WebCrawler is still going. WebCrawler.com, it's still a search engine. Mm-hmm. You can still go there. However, AltaVista forwards to Yahoo. And pictures.
Yeah, and Yahoo search engine is actually Bing.
Yeah, which is like the Daily Mail as well, because you go there and put in yahoo.com and it says Yahoo celebrity. Do you want to see Jessica Chastain's wedding dress that she didn't want you to see? Actually, no.
No.
Thank you. Very kind. No. She was only born in 1977. Karan, I was 10 already.
Same year as me.
Oh, shut up, Campion.
Child.
But WebCrawler's going.
Yeah.
I've just gotten to webcrawler.com. I'm going to type in Netscape and see what happens.
I'm on Dogpile still there.
I'm expecting a space-time black hole loop wormhole type thing. No, it just says download now, free.
Did Yahoo buy Lycos? Is that what happened to Lycos?
Oh, Lycos. God, I forgot about Lycos. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've just gone to Dogpile, if you remember that search engine. And I've just typed in, I started to type in man juice, and it said man juice diet. That is not a diet I want to be on.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Lycos, that's around Lycos.com.
It was bought by an India-based marketing company for $36 million. I've just found a Wall Street Journal article. Gosh, 36 million. Lycos was responsible for so many things in my life. It's quite
none of them
odd.
Good. So WebCrawler, if you type in man juice diet into WebCrawler, it doesn't come back with any returns.
Dogpile.com, that's where you go.
Is Ask Jeeves still a thing?
I forgot all about Ask Jeeves, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is Ask.com still alive?
Ask.com still going. But the butler's disappeared.
Mm.
Let's just ask. Where's the butler?
But no, but AskJeeves.net is about. and that runs on Google.
Has there been a falling out? Is this like, so AskJeeves.net is a Google search engine, and it's got Jeeves playing in a four-piece band, which is kind of really wrong. No, I'm sorry, that's not okay. No, this is my youth. This is my late 20s being stolen from me.
Oh, shit, my GeoCities site's still there.
GeoCities is gone.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Totally funky.
Who's next? Who's did we finish that story or not?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah. Who's next?
Done it there.
You've done it right. Thanks for tech support, Rich.
The E3.
I can edit, don't worry. Go E3.
E3, this is my World Cup. This was amazing.
Well, steady on.
I never got into football, so sorry, everyone. This is basically where gaming fans get together and watch videos at 5 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, Bethesda, for that. And get excited about everything that they're going to spend their money on over the next 6 months. And damn it if Nintendo didn't really knock it out of the park.
With what?
We've got it right. So they showed a lot of Super Mario Odyssey, which looks excellent. I think what they really got people excited about was Metroid Prime 4, which I personally have no idea about because I haven't played Metroid Prime 1 to 3. So I don't know, but a lot of people really lost their shit over that. New Yoshi games, new Kirby games, new lots of stuff. Fire Emblem Warriors. All kinds of big Nintendo things.
Xenoblade. And they,
sorry, go ahead.
Xenoblade
2, yeah. I think the one that really grabbed everybody was the Mario Rabbids Kingdom Invasion, or whatever it was called, which is a bit of an XCOM type game, but with Mario and Rabbids.
Rocket League. My son loves Rocket League.
And what they did announce is that the online play for Rocket League will be compatible with all the people playing PC and Xbox as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Only Sony didn't get in on that one for some reason. I know what the reason is. It's because they don't want you being able to play your mates on a different console, but that's by the by. Microsoft were a bit dull. They just ran a load of trailers and showed us a console that's very expensive. So, I don't know. Maybe some people are excited about the Xbox One X that they showed off, the world's most powerful games console. I wasn't excited. They showed me a lot of videos that just made me pleased that I bought a PS4. So, well done there, Microsoft.
Well, however, okay, but it's 4K, to be fair.
It is 4K. It would be my only 4K content on a 4K TV. We've still got to wait for games to come out for it and that sort of thing. The PS4 Pro is 4K as well.
Did you, Deep Pan is commenting here in the chat room, did you see the comparison between Minecraft and Minecraft 4K?
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
That was the one thing that I picked out of everything.
Really?
I kind of go numb at Minecraft. I know kids love it. And I don't have any of those.
Right, so talk us through the differences between Minecraft and Minecraft 4K.
So, we have a lot of Minecraft at home. We have it on every platform. We've got it on the Mac. We've got it on Xbox. We've got it on iPads here. Me and my daughter are crazy about playing Minecraft. And, if we've got a spare 5 minutes here and there, we'll play Pocket Edition because you can share across iOS devices. But if you look at the comparisons that they were putting out, so I think The Verge or Engadget or someone put one of the comparisons out. And they showed the same scene split screen with 4K in the original Minecraft. Now, we all know what the original Minecraft looks like, but if you did a little slide over comparison that they had, you could see the sun shining through the clouds. You could see the textures on the blocks. The grass looked like grass. It was just, I get quite immersed, certainly when people build huge worlds, and my daughter's definitely into going onto all the servers, the Minecraft servers where people have built stuff, and they're really immersive places to be. But this update is, you know, if this is what Microsoft were going to bring with their acquisition of Mojang and Minecraft, this is definitely the way it's going to go, because the real, you know, it's not so kind of photorealism that it's unbelievable. It does hark back to the original Minecraft, but just if you're going to live in that
world, the blocks
world,
look the same.
Hmm?
The blocks look the same.
Yeah, it just looks like they put shader effects on everything.
Yeah, I know, but have you seen the sun coming through the clouds stuff and all that? It looks great.
Yeah.
Great, yeah.
Job. It doesn't look bad at all. I have no idea what it is, but it looks pretty.
You got right. So Minecraft. I've played it with Ellis, and it's great. It's good. It's good father son bonding stuff. It really is, because you just, and if you got on a, if you're on LAN, you can share your game, you can share your world, and you can build stuff, and you can use MC Edit if you want to build really big stuff. Me and Ellis spent pretty much a week over a period of time building an absolute replica of the Titanic. We got all the specs down off the internet.
Oh.
And we used MC Edit to help us with some of the big blocking sections. But effectively, just off the shore, we built the Titanic full scale.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was an awesome experience for the two of us. It was great.
Yeah.
And I'm into the building stuff. I couldn't give a shit about beating off zombies and firing arrows and upskilling.
So we're back to Bill Gates.
I'm back to just building crap that doesn't matter. I built a high rise that was as high as I could go with a waterfall that went on the outside, and that's all I'm interested in. I'm not worried about the rest.
Yeah, but if you I don't know if you remember, maybe 18 months ago I did that project at work where we built all those chemical molecules and stuff in Minecraft as a project for work.
Perfect.
And yeah, so they came in. They're talking about using Second Life. I was like, shut up, use Minecraft. And as Office 365 customers at work, we get Minecraft education, and we built all the molecules and linked them all together. We put stuff inside them so the lecturer could then guide them through these molecules in 360, in 3D. And then, you know, then you could let the students loose and they could break things apart. And this in 4K would just, you know, because it still looked like very blocky blocks, but for the work that we do and our video streaming service at work, we're upgrading to VR on Monday as well. This could be really amazing stuff. You know, it's not much. It's a tweak to graphics. But if you spend as much time in Minecraft as a lot of people do, it will make a lot of difference.
It can ruin your life.
It can ruin your life, yeah. But it's, like you say, it's a great father-kid bonding experience, isn't it?
Oh, it's great fun. Bronwyn's just reminded me of a project that I saw. Here you go. That is the Starship Enterprise built in Minecraft with 1 meter cube blocks.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's cool.
So do you just build stuff?
Yeah, you can if you want. You can build stuff and you can create an environment and you can fight off zombies and all the other skeletal stuff that attacks you. Or you can just build stuff in a creative mode that lets you build whatever you damn well like. Mm. And yeah, this guy built the whole of the Enterprise in Minecraft.
Yeah,
And it's unreal. It is.
Could you go inside it, or is it just?
No, the whole thing is accurate.
Yeah, yeah, you can go down the
tower and everything. Oh my god!
So the only problem you get is that the blocks are 1 meter cubed, effectively. So two blocks makes a doorway. So that's 2 meters. And the trouble is that you end up making walls have to be 1 meter thick. So that's the only time you really give yourself a problem. But I built a cathedral in there with Ellis and put stained glass in the end that's illuminated from torches on the opposite side of the wall that illuminate the glass. And Ellis saw it and he was like, whoa, that's awesome, yeah. Dad. It's great. And you get, like I said, free products like MC Edit, which helps you do like mass blocking of areas rather than laying individual blocks because it takes forever.
Yeah, but if you go onto the servers that people have built, you can play like Call of Duty style games as well, where you can just go around killing people with axes and arrows and those sort of things as well.
Did you see the drawbridge, the 4-digit drawbridge that the guy invented?
No.
It was in Redstone, and it was brilliantly done because it showed you the Redstone programming for a calculator, effectively, or for a four-digit. And Redstone is brilliant rich for programming from AND or OR gates. And this guy created a whole load of routes underneath the surface that allowed him to have a keypad that he typed in a 4-digit passcode, and it dropped the portcullis on the on the drawbridge next to him. You type in the 4-digit passcode, and it dropped.
Yeah.
And it was all done through Redstone. Redstone's brilliant. I've tried to explain AND and OR gates to Ellis for programming through through the Redstone stuff in Minecraft, and it's brilliant. Easily done for that.
So the console that runs Minecraft 4K is £449.
Yeah, that's the
is that a doable thing?
Don't. Just don't, because Minecraft is, it doesn't get better than running it on a PC or a Mac in the lowest resolution possible.
Right.
As fast as you possibly can. It doesn't, I mean, the Xbox X, One X, One Xbox is not worth the money to just play a 4K Minecraft. But it will be great for Call of Duty 4K if and when it comes out. But just play Minecraft on a PC, mate, or just play it on even on your Mac. Ellis and I play it on the Macs at home. And he's playing it on a 2007 iMac.
Runs fine.
You don't need a lot of power. No. See, I'm just wondering in general. So, is a £449 console too much? Because I think a lot of people are saying it is.
It is.
It is.
Well, here's my counter argument to that. Try building a PC gaming rig that plays games at the same standard in 4K for £449.
Yeah, but you can't. But you know, the point I would make is that if you look at the gameplay of modern games, actually, to a certain degree, we had better gameplay than a lot of the games that there are out there.
You're preaching to the choir on that. I mean, I'm the one sat playing everything on a Switch, which is 1080p at best. And then certainly nothing like the graphical power of even the PS4. So I'm totally on board with the fact that you don't need photorealistic graphics just to play a computer game. No. That's, you know, that's mental. But I just think for value for money, a £450 console isn't ridiculous. If it is the beast of a thing that Microsoft says it is. If it's not, then it's a rip-off, of course. But I think, you know, it's not that
bad. Is it going to be... is it powerful enough to run VR? Some decent VR games? When they eventually come out?
That's the difficulty, because it's the Xbox. So I would imagine if you can run VR off the PS4, then you could technically run VR off the Xbox One X.
You can run
VR
off XP One.
But
anyway,
I don't know what VR system you'd use it with.
Isn't there an Oculus Rift?
There's no Microsoft headset to plug into it or anything like that.
Isn't there an Oculus Rift for Xbox One?
I use the controllers. I don't know if there's... Yeah, there must be, because I use the Xbox controllers. I'm not sure if anyone searches.
I do find that a bit laughable if there is, when they spurn Apple.
Not really. There's certainly no Xbox VR games coming out like there are for the PlayStation.
Right, okay.
PlayStation...
I just found something here that says new 4K Xbox will support the Oculus Rift VR headset.
But actually, you look at the VR stuff that's been going on with Apple this week in iOS 11 and their developer tools, and that is massive. I mean, some brilliant, brilliant stuff going on there. I think they've really copped a snoot to Oculus Rift, and it could be a fatal one as well.
Well, it depends, because the Apple stuff is, they've got, it's AR that they're mostly going with.
Yeah.
No, they're doing a lot with VR too.
Yeah, they've got the VR, and they made a big thing about the graphical power and especially the iMac Pro, which was great. I think when the Oculus people said, yeah, we're not going to run on Macs shit, yeah, a couple of months ago, that, I think, really upset them.
And rightly, because I think it was bollocks.
Yeah. Well, Mac's graphical power historically has been pretty awful.
Yeah, no, but they've had the problem with the fact that they've gone the AMD route rather than the NVIDIA route, haven't they?
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well.
They've jumped the wrong boat.
I'm actually still glad I've got the last MacBook Pro that had an NVIDIA card in it. So I'm hanging on to this for dear life. I have had a Mac that had a AMD card in it, and it was appalling. And they, you know, they caused their own problems by deciding it's got to be an extra 15th of an inch thinner this year, so you can't put a fan in it or whatever. And
yeah, I mean, I've just put a link in the chat room there, Rich. Have a watch of that YouTube video on the zombie game. And that is brilliantly brilliant done using the augmented reality. And I did say in the Mac show, there's a bit there where the zombie is walking towards the dogs that the guy's got in the garden. And inside me, it was so realistic, and the lighting effects were so realistic. I'm going, run. Because it looks so good. There's other stuff out there you can have a look at that's crap. But that was brilliant. A guy named James Rickards was on the Mac show as well. He owns a firm called Renderbots, who do an awful lot of graphical stuff. And he said that the stuff that this guy's done is unreal. Unreal in terms of quality.
It looks cool. I'm personally waiting for the technology to just get on a little bit further. But I think the AR stuff looks really interesting. I need to be given a bit more of a compelling reason to want to use it, because I still think that looking at my tabletop through my iPad is going to be a pain, but I'm totally willing to be wrong about that and see some awesome stuff happening.
Through your iPad, I think it definitely is. And I think the one problem that I've got particularly, I've got a VR headset over here that I use. And if I want to have a go with it, I have to get out some glasses that I used to own 3 years ago to wear, because they're the only ones that will fit inside it. Because otherwise, the ocular change on them isn't good enough for me to be able to see them. So I have to pull out these tired old glasses and wear these so that I can actually see inside the VR headset. And it's great. I mean, the porn's awesome, and some of the other stuff that I've got down off the Dive City roller coaster's great, and the Roman Grosjean lap that's still out there, that's brilliant as well. That works brilliantly, but there's an awful lot of it that's like, hang on, if you're going to do this, you've got to be able to cope with people who can't see without their glasses. And I can't see that camera without my glasses, without it being blurred, and I can't see the screen without it being blurred. The first thing that's in focus, and a focus is a loose term here, is the tree outside that's about 40 yards away. So until you can solve that problem, you know, it's crap. And there's an awful lot of stuff with the video industry. You know, you get these things that fit on top of your display screen that say that they've got an ocular change in them so that you can look and see your prescription. And I crank those all the way up and I can't see. And it's just like, and I'm not particularly blind. There must be people out there who crank those things up and go, what? I don't see any difference.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
Yeah. If you wear glasses, there is nothing for you in the VR market, and that is what's got to change, because a lot of people wear glasses, especially even in the 20 somethings and 30 somethings.
Mm-hmm.
What else pumped your nads at E3 then, mate?
Ubisoft had a couple of good ones. Far Cry 5 looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And oh god, what was the other one? That's no good me asking that question. I'm supposed to be the one talking about it. Yeah, they had a couple of other good things. Usually Ubisoft do notoriously awful presentations. They're quite well known for it. This year they managed to do pretty well and just had the people who made the game say, look, this is my game, which seems to be the best way of doing that. But yeah, Nintendo won it, I think. Nintendo won it. That literally every game they showed off, I'm going to buy.
I find that
most
surprising.
Are pre-ordered. So, yeah, they know what they're doing.
They're still
they really
in blocky
do.
Graphicsville, though, aren't they? But the gameplay is good on the other stuff, so I'll grant you that may be the saving factor.
Mm.
Good story, mate. Excellent. Jeffrey, do you have a story for us, mate? You're the only one left, I think.
I do. And hold on. I think I have a link for you. Not like I didn't have time to be prepared. There we go.
There we go.
So... Uber seems to be having an exodus of executives. And like even the CEO is now on leave, and so the question I'm posing is, Uber in the middle of imploding in a way that they're not going to be able to successfully recover from.
Wow. How many people here refuse to use Uber?
I use Uber in Las Vegas because Lyft hasn't been a viable option at previous CES shows, but everywhere else I use Lyft.
I just refuse to use Uber. I had 5 or 6 journeys with them when they first started around London, and every single one of them I had to get a refund on the fare because they just took the piss. And now I get in black cabs, and I pay far less in black cabs. I'll grant you that in off-peak hours, you will pay less with an Uber, but in peak hours, you pay far less with a black cab than you will with an Uber, especially if you're talking 9 o'clock in the morning when they've got the triple surcharge on.
Whereas that's not the case in Leeds, even at all.
Go on.
From my house into Leeds to Leeds train station, if I'm going to get a train, obviously I get dropped off at the station. If I'm going out into Leeds on an evening, it's easy for me to get dropped at the station because it's sort of this end of town. It's a 2-minute walk up to where I generally meet people. From my house to the train station is probably less than £5 in Uber. If I get either a private hire, or if I went and got a black and white cab, I'm talking between 7 and 10. They're significantly cheaper. And I can go on Uber pretty much any time and have a taxi within 5 minutes, almost every single time.
So don't you get triple surcharge or anything like that?
We do, but there's that many drivers that it's not that often it kicks in. Never triple. I think the highest I've ever seen it's probably 1.6, 1.8 maybe. And that would probably be around 10:30 to midnight on a Friday or Saturday night. But never, I've never paid more than 1.8. And even then, it's comparable with the private hires and the black and whites.
That's interesting.
Within where I'm in Leeds, there's Bradford, Huddersfield, Dewsbury, all of the towns around there, and all of the drivers seem to work almost within the West Yorkshire vicinity. I don't know if you have any up as high as where you are, Rich, but it's all of the drivers. So you can get somebody who's on the way in from Bradford into Leeds. They're coming down the Ring Road. Yeah, I'm close enough to where they are on the route.
Yeah, I've used Uber precisely one time in my entire life. It was okay.
I've never used it.
I don't in any way have any affiliation or desire to use it at all.
So I've used it a few times in London, and I just find, certainly at peak periods, I find the black cabs, and I will always support the black cabs.
Yeah, I will. When I work in London, if I'm not on the tube, I'm on a black cab. I wouldn't even think of using Uber in London, to be honest, because there's so many black cabs there.
What bothers me is the fact that and I'll get some hate mail for this, but there seems to be a desire from the Uber drivers to follow the route that was prescribed to them, because they know that if they go off the route, Uber Central will just go, lost your fee, sod off, because we haven't paid them, so we're not paying you, so get stuffed. And that seems to be the issue, is that they stick to the routes, but the problem is a lot of those routes are very heavy with traffic. And if you go in a, because they're charging metered time as well as distance, which they shouldn't be allowed to do under what I understood the laws to be, then you end up paying far more, whereas the black cabs will duck and dive down the back streets to save you money and will generally come in far cheaper, certainly at peak periods.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, the only place I use Uber is in Vegas during CES, because Lyft, maybe it'll be different this year, maybe Lyft will finally have a presence. But the Uber drivers, they tended to be really smart, and they knew the routes to take where they could cut time off, and it was great, because if you wait for a cab, you can wait easily over an hour, but with an Uber, you never have more than a 5-minute wait. But then outside of Vegas, man, it is a disaster. I won't use Uber anywhere else. And I tried once in Philadelphia, and the Uber driver showed up, and it was supposed to be just an Uber for me and Angela and a couple of friends. And the Uber driver that showed up was one that was doing one of the multiple fare things where you just keep stacking people up in your car. And the person knew that they didn't have enough room in their car for all of us, but was going to try and coax us to get in anyhow. No. And it's pouring rain. And, you know, we said, no, we're not getting in your car. And this Lyft pulls up right behind him, rolls down his window and says, do you need a ride? And that's a thing. The Lyft drivers in Philadelphia know that Uber drivers are going to try and screw you. So they're watching to see where they are, and they pull up to the fares and they get the fare.
Yeah.
That's how messed up Uber is in some cities.
I think a big difference over here is that for instance, in London, you've got the knowledge. So to drive a black cab in London, you have to know your way around that city. Absolutely. In Leeds, drivers come in from everywhere. They're coming in from Bradford, Halifax, Dewsbury. The majority of them don't know Leeds. They absolutely don't. And they totally rely on the Uber maps to get them from A to B, which is why they tend to stick to the main routes. But if I'm going into Leeds from my house, I'll say to them, no, go down this road, turn left and follow the road along. That's the fastest route. And I've never had a driver say, no, I need to go this way, mate. They'll go the straightforward route. But the amount of drivers, you know, you get in and you have the same old conversation. And the majority of drivers that I've got in are not from Leeds themselves. They're from outside.
I use TC cars all the time, and I always recommend it to you guys when you come up for the batch.
Mm-hmm. You do, yeah.
And they are dirt cheap. I mean, they are ridiculously cheap. So, like, an 8-mile journey to the train station for me in the mornings is £9.
Yeah.
I give him a tenner and say, thanks very much, man. And he's over the moon, or I'm over the moon. You go to I went to Sileby up by you to go to Rother Arms. Mm-hmm. I got a taxi from the train station and to go to the Rother Arms, and it was £36.
Was that from Leeds? Leeds train station?
Leeds train station. York train station. Yeah. To that, and it's just like, that's stupid money from how far it is. It's like 12 miles. It's not £36.
Yeah.
Not by any stretch. But
Uber launched in Leeds, there was a huge campaign to show how much cheaper they were than all of the other fares, than all of the other firms around here. Mm. And after about the first year, they put their prices up, but they were still massively cheaper than the other firms. So Uber are rife everywhere in Leeds now.
Right. One of the things that one of the local drivers here at TC Car said to me was, that you get an awful lot of disaffected drivers that go to Uber and gravitate towards them. So they go to local cab firms, they can't fit in, so they gravitate to Uber because they don't have to go to a central location and fit in with office mm-hmm. staff and be nice to people who are call center staff who want to give them rides, etc. They tend to be a different kind of person, in inverted commas,
mm-hmm.
which may be true. I don't know.
I'd like to see the likes of Lyft come over here and give it a go and give Uber some competition in some of the big cities.
Yeah, Lyft is great.
Yeah, we've never heard Lyft in this country. Not once, yeah. Jeff. So.
No.
I saw it in San
Francisco. That's unfortunate.
But, I mean, the other thing is as well, from what I understand from Uber, they don't make any money whatsoever out of the cab rides.
Yeah, I've heard that. They make it from the data.
It's all in the data.
Yeah.
Where you've been and what you've done is all that they're interested in. They don't give a shit about the cab ride. The money goes to the cab driver. That's the end of it. What they're interested in is the data. It's a different world. It's a different world for someone who's 50 years old. Christ. Old. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They are awesome. They look after us. They've looked after us for a very long time, and they will continue to do so for a very long time as well as... If you buy anything for the web, domain names, VPS, VPN, web hosting, anything at all, co-location services, then log into UK2 via our website and they will know that we have sent you and we will get the kudos for it. Please, please, please make sure you check them out. And next month, Uniku, there's a Uniku machine. It is coming to Wrexham. I am going down. It's already there, actually. But it'll be ready to run. I'm going to get my eyes tested on the 23rd of this month in Birmingham. And then my prescription's going to go to the boys down at Wrexham. Then I'm going to go and get my face measured. Then I'm going to get Unico glasses. I am so excited. I'll take Jake with me. We will film it. You will see it firsthand. And I will have the first pair of Unico glasses for a non-Oya person in the world. There you go. Should be awesome.
Wow.
Should be great. If you're interested in the Hoya glasses, then go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and they'll tell you all about it. But just stick to this channel and we'll tell you ourselves. Can't wait. Camps, do you have a cool thing for us?
Do. Just drop that in the chat room. There we go.
Yes, but which I am going up to Wrexham, not down. Thank you very much for that.
So my pick this week is Relive. So I'm not going to bore everyone again with me getting back into
you
my running.
You skinny bastard!
I'm using Strava. I'm out of all the different apps, Strava's the one that I've decided and I've settled on in terms of tracking my runs and stuff like that. And what I like about Relive, there's a little video that's on the link that I put in the chat room, Ewan. What you can do is you do your run on Strava. It connects to Garmin. It connects to Polar as well. You can connect your account, and then it gives you a nice little flyover video of the route that you've got. So if you're going to sort of share the route with people that you know and want to show how you've been out and run, rather than just give them a map and a screenshot, you can send them a little link to the Relive video that does the flyover of your route. If you've taken any photos on the way, it pops them up at the particular point on the route. It also throws up things like where you've hit peak heart rate, or you've done your fastest mile or something like that. So it's a nice little visual map of the route that you've been out, either for a run or for on your cycle ride.
Good pick, mate. Pricing.
Pre.
Yeah, we like that then. Strava's not free, it's about $4.99 a month, isn't it? But
No. Strava, the base
all right,
is free. And to be totally honest, I've never had to pay for what I'm using it for and what I want out of it. It's free. If I want increased analytics, you can either pay the $4.99 a month, or I think it's £45 for the year. Which isn't a bad deal. If you're really seriously into it and you want to go deep into your analytics, it's not bad. Bearing in mind, we've talked in the last few weeks about the accuracy of some of these, and it really, you're comparing your own performance on a run to your own performance on a run. And as long as you do that, you're going to get some idea of how well you're doing. I don't think that price is too bad, to be honest. It's comparative with all the other apps out there.
I've got the Strava app and it's well worth it. I just wish I could shift this bloody viral throat infection. I can go cycle because it's a pain in the arse. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Like, so I would have had no compulsion whatsoever in getting on the bike, but I went to see the cardiologist after having pneumonia last year, and they said, if you've got anything that's on your throat and near your chest, you mustn't do any exercise. The only people we see are people who are terminally ill and people who are perfectly healthy. So don't do any exercise while you've got a viral thing or anything on your chest. And I'm like, okay. And the wife just thinks I'm malingering. But that's a different story. What have you got for us, Jeffrey?
All right, so mine, I'm going to call it a follow-up pick because it's something that I mentioned when it was first announced, but I've got it now, and it's the Lego Saturn V rocket. Now, hold on, I haven't finished building it yet, but I guess technically I have, because this, what I have right now is the entire launch craft.
That's the
There's
fuel.
Just not an Apollo module on the top of it yet.
Yeah, that's the fuel.
Right, so, but the stages come apart on this thing. Okay, so third stage.
Okay, so that's the command module.
No, the command module would go on top of this.
Oh, right, okay.
And that's the second stage. I mean, check it out. All the little engines, wonderful detail all the way around.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
And then the first stage. And this part right here, this is the majority of your build. The kit comes with 12 bags loaded with bricks, and 7 of them make up this part right here. It's an amazing build. The stuff that they did on the inside to make this come together is awesome. And if I can get one of these panels to pop off without breaking the whole thing.
So that's like
Jess has a kit with 1969 pieces. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's out of stock. So that's like a 3-foot tall model, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's over a meter tall when it's done.
I'm sorry. I didn't use meters because I didn't think because you're American, but. Yeah, I knew it was over a meter because it's 1/44 scale.
Yeah. So, okay, I got one of the panels off. So what they did inside, this is really cool.
Oh, wow.
You build this whole thing, and then this becomes a skin on the outside of it. And if I can get the focus to stay in, you can kind of, you really can't see it very well. But the stuff they did to build the inside, so that you could get things like a round shape all the way around with flat pieces. I mean, it's crazy. I was building elements where I had no idea what it was going to be until it was finally done, because it was like bricks with studs, not just on the top or top and sides, but like literally all the way around. It would just become a weird shape with studs and, little clamp things sticking out. So anyhow, this is an amazing build. I'm not even done with it yet, but it's just been so cool that there was no way I couldn't share this today.
Totally. $119 if you want to buy it, but it's out of stock on LEGO Ideas.
Now, when I bought mine, it was on launch day, and it was out of stock like immediately, and they told me that it wasn't going to ship until the middle of the month, and I've already got it. So they're under promising and over delivering, it looks like, with this one.
Excellent. Superb. A change region. That scares me to death, because $119 sounds like a decent.
It's £109.99.
Well, it's still less than dollars. Holy mother of God.
£109.99. It is out of stock, but yeah, it's available on pre-order.
I've got it in an Airfix kit in the other room. I still yet to build it. Sharon bought it for me. So. It will happen. Rich, do you have a cool thing for us?
Got a couple. ARMS is out today for the Switch. Pick that up. Pretty good so far. But actually, the other thing I've got is just one of those utilitarian things that you might need from time to time, and this thing saved my life the other day. This is the Spinido. It's a USB 3 aluminium hard drive enclosure, so you basically take any 3.5-inch hard drive and stick it in this box, and it becomes a USB 3 external hard drive, which is especially useful if, like me, you've got a number of just bare hard drives sat around on a table next to you at all times and that kind of thing. These things, just suddenly you've got an extra terabyte of storage, and it's $17.99. So fantastic. I recommend it as a product. It's been pretty good so far.
Hot swap that. You don't have to just buy one for each drive you got left over.
No, you can just pull them out. And it's a really clever little mechanism. I don't want to pull it out to show you in case it...
Do they do it with parallel?
No,
they don't.
I don't know.
I'm joking. It's all right.
Yeah. No, oh, parallel. Yeah. Parallel God, parts. Sorry, no. Yeah, old things.
Yeah, no. I've got two parallel drives I can't read.
But yeah, it's pretty good. And they do a 2.5-inch version as well.
Excellent. Good pick. $11.98 for the 2.5-inch and $17.99 for the 3.5-inch. Righty boy.
Hello, mate. Well, this is an iOS game, which I saw in the past and I never got around to playing it. But the sequel's out. The game's called Framed, and the new one, obviously, is called Framed 2. Stop in the chat room there. There you go. because of Frame 2 has been released, Frame 1, which was $4.99, is now free in the App Store. And it's a really simple game. I'm not going to try and show you on my phone because it's too complicated. But it's basically, you load the game up and it's a comic strip. So it plays a scenario to you of a spy running through a certain thing and he might get shot or caught by police. And the aim of the game is to take the comic book strips and arrange them in the correct order. So he either gets away or he hides. And it's got some really great little puzzles in there. So you can just imagine you just got this comic book in front of you. So on an iPad, it looks amazing. You just move around the comic book and, but so there's like one bit where he runs through and he gets shot. So you have to rearrange them so he jumps over a table and hides behind it and jumps out of a window. But it's won a shed load of awards. I didn't realize it for design and gameplay and all those sort of things. And if you didn't get to play it the first time round or you didn't buy it the first time round, go and get it now because it's free. And then if you're interested, Frame 2 is out and it's $4.99.
Excellent, mate. Good shout. Thank you very much. Free. We like free.
Yep.
The Bash is coming up. If you want to come to the Bash, it is July 1st. It's in 2 weeks' time. But right now, we'll be sitting eating curry in the Kismet. We'd have done a Mac show at 4 p.m., which you could have been here at and enjoyed. It's open house on the Friday. And then Saturday, we've got the Bash. And then the Sunday, we're back at my place for breakfast and bacon rolls and hang around. And Righty stays there all day. And other people leave late in the evenings, maybe. And other people stop over, and it's just a great weekend. You've got to come. It is superb. If you want tickets, they're at britishtownetwork.com/bash tickets. 20 quid for adults and 5 quid for children, because the little shits eat the food. All the food. So we'll be stopping that. And also Patreon as well. If you've got a Patreon subscription with us, then please double check that you're getting deducted for it, because... there's a nasty habit of PayPal that they stop sending the standing orders. In fact, your better job is to stop your PayPal subscription via Patreon and send it to us direct at PayPal to bageltechnews@gmail.com, and then we get far more of it than if you send it through Patreon. So entirely your choice. Thank you very much to those people who do donate. It makes a massive difference. It buys lots of shiz for us here in the studio that we wouldn't otherwise have. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Campion?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter. Find me in the Slack room here every week on the big show. And I finally got my finger out and got one of the reviews that I've been promising for a few weeks back on BritishTechNetwork.com/reviews this week. And I should have another couple up during the week.
Excellent, mate. And the Pocket Show's back. You're on that?
Yeah, the Pocket Show's back. Me and Wright, we just need to get together and get our finger out and get one in the diary and get it back on the on the feed.
Talking to
next,
right,
next week.
I put the t-shirt on last week, mate, and you didn't even mention it.
No, I did. You put it out. No, I missed it, and then you showed me, and then I was in awe of your t-shirt. And I want one.
Okay, I'll get you. Not a problem. Send me a size. Where are you, Righty Boy?
Paul's on Twitter, in the Slack room. Talk to Camps a bit later about doing a Pocket Show and hanging out with old Rich the Switch over at Simply Syndicated.
Excellent, mate. Rich, whereabouts are you, buddy?
I'm at simplysyndicated.com doing podcasting. That's it.
Thanks, mate. Super. And last but by no means least, Jeffrey, where are you?
I'm hanging out over at macobserver.com and Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram and like pretty much every podcast that you would want to watch.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal on the Friday. Max show at 4 p.m. A big show at 8 p.m. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.